Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need, whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding. We always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Better Together. When you know better, you get better. That's what we do here every single day. Our quote of the day, our muscles don't make us strong. Vulnerability, that's what makes us strong. That is from Jay Glazer, our guest today. He wrote this incredible book called Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and You Can Too. I cannot tell you, Heal Squad, how much I enjoyed this book. Jay and I have known each other for a long time, just kind of in and around the business. I've even worked out at his gym a couple of times with some friends. I didn't realize he was as close to Michael Strahan as he is until I read the book. And The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, wrote the foreword to the book. But we are going to be chatting with him today about how he turned his depression and anxiety into motivation and how we can too. And I will say, for anybody out there who is listening to this and is in their earlier years of life, the Kelseys and the Pujas of the world, who want to go make it in life and think, oh my God, I worked for 6 months, I should be CEO and I should be making $200,000 and all of that stuff that, you know, some of the younger generation just thinks is supposed to happen. Like, poof, it's just supposed to happen without the hard work. Read this book. Every mother and father should give this book to their children at the ripe age of perhaps 14 before they start getting crazy delusional about like how easy it is to make it in life. Because he really shares the grind, the like unrelentless, like, or the relentless pursuit of his dream, the perseverance, the fight, working for free, hustling to make nothing, living like hand to mouth. It was so riveting to read his journey. I couldn't even, and I was getting tired and I'm writing notes and they're like, whoa, holy shit. Oh my God, I'm exhausted.
That was me too.
Right?
Like, wow, literally. you don't think it's going to happen again. And then it's like, here we go again.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you think it's going to happen for him and then shit, it doesn't happen again. Or he gets like kicked in the gut again and you're like, oh my Lord, is this guy ever going to make it?
Come on.
Kevin.
Sorry, guys.
All we heard was come on. And I know you were talking to one of the dogs.
No, it's Sean Waltman, Xbox little baby doggy here.
Yeah. Okay. I knew it was one of the dogs.
Who's giving me, a time. No, and I think there's so many lessons.
because
I love his story and I love him. I love him as a fan, as a, you know, give some audio so you guys can
there
see.
There we go.
Poor Lula.
Little Lula.
Little Lula is so lost without her daddy.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's hard because she's blind and she's deaf. And she has whoever had her before broke her jaw. So anyway, she's a lot. But yes, I'm super excited for this interview because I love Jay's work, but I didn't know about his journey.
Honey,
I didn't know about the grind. I know. Crazy, right?
Honey. I mean, Kelsey and I were like texting back and forth. I cannot believe this. And I was like, I DM'd him and I was like starting to cry just telling him how much it moved me. Because listen, I made it very quickly and very young. And so I had a very different journey. For me, I was, you know, building blocks along the way from the time I was 13, because I knew what I wanted to do and I knew where I wanted to go. And I got serious from that second. Everything was about how I could figure this path out, which made no sense to a Greek girl from two immigrant parents who were janitors. How the heck am I going to do this? But to see the grind and the work he put in and the fight is really inspiring. And like I said, I think it's so important for people to read it and see just what it takes or what it can't take. Listen, some people are going to have a different kind of journey, right? My yeah. journey had other tough things that I had to deal with, you know, leading up to making it. And then of course, after making it, we're all going to have our stuff, but I was just so blown away. So I think without further ado, let's get the man in here. And we'll chat to Jay. Well, actually, let me intro him officially. Jay Glazer is a television personality, sports reporter, author, actor, and veteran advocate, and founder of Merging Vets and Players. He's a top NFL insider on Fox NFL Sunday and an MMA coach. In his new book, Unbreakable, Jay offers honest advice and insight that he's gained from his fight with anxiety and depression. The result is a relentless, unapologetic, and no-nonsense approach to overcoming your self-doubts, fears, and excuses. So excited to learn from you today, Mr. Glazer. Very, very, very impressed with this book and blown away by your journey.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's yeah, look, I've had a lot of scars, and I'm proud of my scars, and I don't really talk about my successes as much. Like, not all of us have successes, but we all got scars. So, and I'm proud of my scars. Damn right I'm proud of them. They make me different, and different is good. Different is, you know, really what leads us to success. So I really appreciate, you know, one of the things that, you know, helps me more than anything is being of service. And by you allowing me to do this to kind of help people connect and know that they're not alone is a way for me to be of service, which gets me to see a little blue. So thank you.
Well, you know, we were DMing back and forth. I started tearing. I was like, oh my God, he's going to think I'm a weirdo. I'm like crying because I was so moved by your journey and everything that you shared. But like I said, I felt like this book wasn't just, oh, I can get a book deal and I have a good story to tell. And of course I have stuff to share. It was like, I said, it was like from a place of must.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why I was so moved. Listen, I read like 5 books a week, probably. Like there's so many books I'm going through, and I love a lot of them, of course, but this one just kind of really hit me because of many things. So one, obviously it's a topic, depression, anxiety is something that we're suffering from at like epic proportions now. And this is something you've been talking about for a very long time before many people were even mentioning the words mental health or whatever. But then on top of it, I just think that this book, as I said at the very beginning of this, every parent should give their maybe 14 or 15 year old this book to show them what it takes to make it, especially nowadays where, you know, we are definitely dealing with a different generation who thinks it's supposed to happen right away. And, you know, I've been here for 3 months and I've been working my 9 to 5 hours every day. I should be CEO by now. That's kind of a joke, but you know what I'm saying? There's a different expectation. And when you see what you had to go through and how much you had to suffer through and fight through and do for free and everything, it was very inspiring. And I just, I really appreciate it. I think, you know, when you say different leads to success, I think that's so interesting. And I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit.
Well, look, you're talking about, I've seen both sides of it, because people go, how can you have depression and anxiety? You're rich and you got fame. And listen, I know my life is great. I understand that. But between my ears sucks. Oof. And my wallet is not an antidepressant. You know, that it. The interesting thing, Maria, is like I've only known life in the gray. That's earliest childhood memory.
So explain that to people, because I never really heard that term until this book, yeah. Living Life in the Gray.
I dubbed it that. And somebody asked me the other day, when did you name it that? I said, I don't know. I've been hitting the head too many times to remember it. But I started calling it the gray, I don't know, just a couple of years ago. I don't know. Maybe with the book. I'm not sure when I dubbed it that. But the gray for me is depression and it screwed up twin sister anxiety. And it's, I don't have any memories of not having that. And it's to this day. I wake up every day in the gray and it sucks and it's exhausting. And when I'm having really bad days like that, I physically feel it. I feel it behind my rib cage, the left side of my gut. You hear things about, hey, go with your gut. You feel it in your gut. Feel it in my gut. My joints ache. It's a visceral physical reaction for me. So I looked at this and, like, again, I'm proud of my scars, whether they're scars I got from actually fighting or whether they're the 10 years that I was making $9,000 a year, just busting my, you know, what off.
10 years. Listen to this, everyone. 10 years making how much?
$9,750 a year.
And how did you make ends
working
meet?
About 90 hours a week. Because here's the thing, too. When I started coming to Giants, and
by the way, he's not 105 either. You hear those numbers and they're associated with like a whole other generation, like 20 generations.
Yeah, no.
Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content, and a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Hill Squad community, or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment, and we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, that's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
It was, when I walked in that Giant locker room, it was, so 4 years into my career, I finally got a job, but it was for $0. It was for a company that was going out of business. But I was like, I don't care. I just want my foot in the door. And I walked in that Giant locker room and I said, all right, I don't have the same education as everybody else. I don't have any experience, but I will be different than everybody else. I will outwork these people, not by a little, by a lot. If they work 40 hours a week, I'm going to work 90. So I couldn't get another job to pay my bills at the same time. I was going to outwork them this. And I said, I will be the last dude standing in here. So, you know, whoever said quitting's not an option, whoever made that up is a moron. Because that's the easiest option in the world. It sits on your shoulder every day. I walked in that Giant locker room and said, how could I be different? One, I'm going to outwork them by, not a little, by a lot. But two, I'm going to build relationships. Back then, you weren't supposed to have relationships. And with
back then, meaning what years?
This was 93 was when I started covering the Giants.
Got it. Because I did the same thing, but in entertainment. So we have a lot of similarities, which is funny. But continue. So
90. And you'll see, like, one of the things I talk about to get me through the gray is having a team. Mm-hmm. Well, this was, even though I wasn't part of the Giants, these became my teammates to walk me through the gray. And look, I'm not covering the Middle East. I'm not covering world politics. We're sports.
That's what I used to say.
Yes, that's it. Okay. We're supposed to give you relief from the gray and, you know, we're escapism. So everybody else I felt was using their pen as a weapon, I'm like, I'm going to start relationships. Right. And as you build those relationships, then the scoops come. More scoops will come for these relationships. And now everything in sports reporting is about relationships. But I was one of the first to do it that way. And I got killed for it for a while. That's okay.
But you also had the courage to be who you wanted to be and who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is scary when there's no path like that. So you forged a new path that now other people follow.
Well, I'm willing to be different. Mm-hmm. right? I tell our vets all the time, I have a charity, MVP, Emerging Vets and Players. And, you know, they go overseas and they do great things and they come back over here and they're like, oh, I'm different. I'm like, no, you're different. Different is good. Different leads to success. Don't be a face in the crowd. Screw that. Like, be the damn crowd, right? You are different. So I've always thought that about myself. Yep, I'm going to be different. And I'm going to point out what makes me different about everybody else, whether they like it or not. Eventually, they'll learn to respect it and appreciate it. And, yeah, listen, when you have such bad self-worth in yourself like I do, you see me get emotional here. Like, these are not, the muscles aren't true strength. The vulnerability here is strength. Like, no one's questioning my manhood. So I can cry to you right here. I'm okay with it. When Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell punch you in your head for 15, 20 years, I cry on the drop of a dime. When you have it is in this way where you don't know how to like or love that person for the inside out, I use that as motivation to try and make dreams come true, to try to get love from the outside in and build myself up. And the reason why I get emotional is sometimes I will talk about this and I'll kind of look at little me and be like, man, I just want to give you a hug. Like, you're not bad, but I don't, that's not what the roommates in my head tell me. Mm. They don't play nicely with each other. When I have a team, they play a little bit nicer together.
Wow. I wonder with little Jay, because I know, like, Tony Robbins, I don't know if you've ever done one of his seminars, but Tony does that Dickens process where he takes you through this whole journey. And at the end you find yourself, you're like little self. And it's like, what would you be like that to that little self?
Yeah.
And you
like, so I do that. I talk to him and I go, so look, I have therapists for years. I started taking therapy when I was like 4. So like, I've always known there was something, which by the way, my parents who took me to therapy, and maybe you guys were screwed up once too. So maybe it was just what, so, but I mess with them about it. But yeah, one of the things I do now, it's funny you said that, is my real name is Jason. So I will talk to little Jason and be like, hey man, you think maybe you can hold your head up a little bit higher? If you knew you'd grow up, you'd train 1,000 football players in MMA. And he kind of looks at me like, huh? I said, would you be able to hold your head up a little bit higher if you know you're going to save veterans' lives? Would you be able to hold your head up higher if you know you could save other people from their depression, anxiety? Would you be able to hold your head up a little higher that you'd end up being in a television hall of fame on the greatest sports show in the history of life? And he looks back at me and says, do we really do that? See, you get me again, Maria.
Oof, you're getting me because I have to talk to myself sometimes too.
We do. So I have this conversation, with little Jason, a lot to, because I have to heal him. I got to grieve him and heal him and help him back there. So again, you all see me crying out here. No one's questioning my manhood. I want people to be able to do this. This is the stuff I've held in for years. So I have suffered in silence. If I could have these conversations 20 years ago, it would have changed my life. 30 years ago, 5 years ago, it would have changed me. So I want everybody out there, like, I wrote the book so people can have these conversations. So people, whether it's my level of gray, which is clinical, or your level where, man, you're comparing yourself to everybody else's filtered fraction of a second right now on Instagram and think your lives suck when it doesn't, it's going to help you. I'm hoping this book can help you either for yourself to love yourself from the inside out more, or understand your son or your daughter, who it's a scarier world for them now, or your husband and wife. I want you to talk about it with people, because the more you can open up, you look at you and I connecting right now on this, the more I can do this, connect with people, the more the gray is like, damn, no, shoot, I'm losing this fight, right? And that's how we're going to beat them.
Yeah. When you say you don't have a lot of self-worth.
You got me all emotional today.
I'm sure it's not the end of it either, because it's one of those things.
Yeah.
When you say you don't have self-worth, But at the same time, you start with, I'm rich, I'm successful, I have the, an amazing life. How did you get from...
Oh, I don't start with, I'm rich and successful. I say what people say to you. How could you have depression if you're rich and successful?
Okay.
I'm talking about the scars.
So here's my thing. When you don't have self-worth, how do you build that? Because for you to become successful like you are, you had to be able to ask for things, right? Ask for a certain salary, ask for, a raise, all these things. So how did you navigate those waters, and have you gotten good at it, or are you just still struggling?
What motivated me is because I've always hoped, when I lay my head on my pillow at night, those 15 minutes are terrible, because I'm laying there with somebody that I don't know how to like or love. And I beat up myself a lot. That's hard. That's really, really, really hard. So it motivates me to do these great things so I can see them and go, maybe I'm not so bad. Or, wow. So look, if I didn't have depression and anxiety, I would not be as successful as I am. That's why, say it can motivate you. It's motivated me to go do these great things. Because I've always been looking for outside love.
It's evidence.
Yeah, evidence. But it doesn't make sense, because I know, I see it, how great my life is. I just don't have the skills yet to feel it here, and to believe it myself. And what I'm hoping by this book is I'm able to help so many people out that I'll be able to lay my head on my pillow at night and have a little bit more peace and know what that's like from here. And so if it's not this, I'm going to find something else. Like, I won't stop. I'll keep going and keep going and keep going until I find it, because I deserve to feel love from the inside out. I deserve that.
Where does it all come from, do you think?
I don't know, because it's my earliest childhood memory. I really don't know. I have no idea. And I don't know if it's, childhood trauma or clinical or whatever, like born with it. No idea. I just know that it needs a voice, right? We all talk about mental health, but nobody describes it. So I'm able to describe it. I'm able to give it a description of people can go, that's what I feel. And I didn't know how to say it. And that's responses on social media have been incredible lately with that. Like, yes. Now, and then now they don't feel alone. Mm-hmm. So even when I have all these great things, a lot of times I feel isolated and alone, even when I have these great teams around me, if you will.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
What's up, Heal Squad? You guys know how hard we work here every day to bring you this show, and we are so excited to announce our newest partner, Macy's. I used to work for Macy's for years, by the way, as a fragrance spritzer, shopped there my whole life, and still do. And if you've been listening lately, you know my word for the new year is active, but when I looked at my gear, it did not make me want to move. So I'm revamping my athletic wardrobe at Macy's.com/bettertogether. It was all old, uninspiring stuff, and now I'm adding a few new pieces and I'm giddy to get active. So they've got so many great brands to choose from, but here's my favorite part. I'm curating a special list for you and me. Just go to Macy's.com/bettertogether and check out what I've handpicked in athletic wear and other items that I'm excited about, because they have everything you need, not just for a wardrobe refresh, but for every life category. So trust me, it's all cool stuff that you need to get better and be better, from desktop smartphone sanitizer cases to cozy winter PJs and more. P.S. I'll be adding to it constantly, and I hope it will help you with any ideas for you and your home, or even just gifts. Kev's Valentine's Day present is in there, so shh, don't tell him. Help support the show by using our link, Macy's.com/bettertogether. If you're going to make any purchases with Macy's, it helps us so much in keeping the lights on, as you know. Thank you, as always, for your support, friends. We love you, and we're grateful for Macy's that they saw our authentic connection and came on board. We are better together. So interesting, because I connect in so many ways, and I think I'm starting to see so many things that make a little bit more sense to me too. Or you just like don't feel settled, like you just like it's like, wait, how come I can't be happy like all these other people, right? Like I'm happy in my moments, but then I can have those kind of just very lonely times where you think it's you're totally alone, but it doesn't make sense because you aren't.
Right, we're not. And look, like I said before, like we all feel left out. We're comparing, even the most successful people, we compare ourselves to everybody else's, like I said, filtered fraction of a second. And it gives us reaction like, oh, my life sucks. How come I'm not there? How come I'm not doing more? How come I'm not doing this? We got to learn how to exhale. Mm. We got to learn this, that we have to learn. And like, I moved out of Scottsdale from LA because I don't want to be working my ass off till I'm 90 years old and then I die. And, you know, like our parents would and our grandparents, that's what they would do. And I made the decision to come out here to learn how to exhale, to start try to learn how to enjoy what I've built up. But it's hard for us because we're so competitive and we're so on the go. Mm-hmm. We almost got to be taught, hey, it's okay to exhale. It's okay. Hey, we've got enough. But it's, you know, and I think a lot of it too, when we do make it, here's the other big thing. We just had this conversation last night during the games.
We have to talk about it. I can't.
We were having this conversation with a coach, somebody else, where when I was broker than broke, when I was making $9,700, man, so the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is not making $1 million. The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is the journey itself. I never knew I'd work with Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw, Jimmy Johnson, Kurt Menefee, and Michael Strahan. Like, are you kidding me? I never knew I was going to be in a comedy with The Rock. You got to be kidding me. The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is the actual journey. When we get there, our anxiety goes through the ceiling because we're so horrified we're going to lose it. And we can't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Like, I know all my friends that are successful have the same fear. Yep. It's going to be gone tomorrow.
Yep.
So when we didn't have anything to lose, it was almost more comfortable for us than where we are now. Like, oh my God, I'm going to go back to making $9,700.
Yeah. Well, the climb is, whether you like it or not, the climb is the exciting part, because what I see having gone through my journey too, you're like, every little nugget you get, you're like, oh my God, I'm almost there. And then you get another nugget, you're like, oh, things are happening. Oh my God, this is exciting. It might happen. And then you keep doing that and you keep doing that. It's so exciting. And then you get there. And that's exactly what you're saying. Now it's like, oh my God, who's going to get me now? Yeah. Who's going to take me down? How's this? How do I keep it? And then you're right. That's what happens.
And that's a form of gray. So again, that's not even clinical, but that's a form of the gray. That's that anxiety that people are going to try and take it from us. And look, misery loves company. So that's where one of the things I'm trying to, in this movement, I'm trying to start getting people to stop, like, hey, you're in your own pain. So you're tweeting the most heinous things to people because you want someone to come down because you want them to share in your pain, which is not how we should act. Like, I do believe that this world is actually a good place. Like, we are good. We can be good people. We have it in us. So, you know, but again, when, you know, look, I'm talking about the rigors of social media. When you and I were growing up and like your friend or you got bullied in the schoolyard, that sucked for a week, right? It was bad. Well, we now see it every second, 1,000 times a second on Twitter, mm-hmm. the way people talk to each other. And whether it's to you or somebody else, it still hurts us. It still bothers. I'm an empath, so I feel for everybody, no matter what. And it's changing our brains to just be nasty to each other. And the human condition is not meant for that. It's just not meant for it. So I think a lot of that anxiety too is, yeah, we now know everybody's going to try and bring us down because they're miserable with their own lives. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the misery is from what we see from this damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the misery, by the way, for, well, I always say, is just the mirror, because they don't want to work as hard as you to get there.
Exactly right. Hey, I put in the book, the blueprint for greatness It's easy. Find out who the best is and do more than them. Mm-hmm. That's it. You want to be great, find out who the best is and do more than them. And I can't tell you how many times I've said to a football player the same thing. I'm like, so we're going to do, this is what Tom Brady does. This is what I want you to do. Well, I can't do that. That's it. That guy works. You know, see how hard that guy works? I'm like, are you complaining about your dreams not coming true?
Yep.
Right? Find out who the best is. And you're in our gym at Unbreakable in LA. There are a lot of great people in there. Okay, find out. You want to beat that guy out. See what he does and do one more rep than him. Five more reps, 10 more, whatever it is. That's the blueprint to greatness. It's just outworking the world. And it's the hours that nobody sees you putting in. Mm-hmm. Like that's what leads to greatness.
100%.
It's the work when no one's watching.
Yep. Exactly.
And you've done that.
Yeah. I definitely have.
But it's exhausting. Like people have to understand.
Oh, yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, you can burn out quick. Trying,
oh, man, it's absolutely exhausting. Mm-hmm. And it's more exhausting now with everybody trying to pull you down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Jay, will you talk about medication?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I've tried 36 of them.
What is it?
I think I've tried about 36 antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. And there's a lot of us who are resistant or like it just doesn't work on us. But I'm still willing to try. Like this is for anybody. I have a lot of friends who are on meds and it works. I'm like, damn, I wish I could feel that. So no matter what, I have to do the work from the inside out. Mm-hmm. If one day I could find something that works for me, then great. It's double the pleasure. Right. So for everybody out there who their meds are working for them, like I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you what to take, what not to take. You find something that works. It's fantastic. And then use what I'm trying to teach you also in the book to help lift you up even more. It's phenomenal. I have not found any that have worked. I do these other treatments, these IV treatments and stuff, which it's, I want to get into because I want to tell people what to do on the medical side, if you will, right? Because I'm not a doctor.
Mm-hmm. You found something that's helping you though?
I found something that's helped. Yeah, these IV treatments that I get are they've helped in a way. And certain things I've found certain therapists that have helped, but the meds for me haven't worked. None of them worked, unfortunately, but I'm willing to, every time something else new comes out, mm-hmm. I'm good. Like I won't stop until I can find this happiness.
What about like CBD, marijuana, anything like that?
Fucking weed. If there's anybody who needs to be good at weed, it's me. And I train with freaking Wiz Khalifa every day. And I'm like, he's like, and we're like, you know, and it just doesn't work for me. Some CBD has, yeah, there's, and again, I'm willing to try, and here's the other thing too, because I work with all these vets. I'm willing to try anything because I know I can pull myself out of the hole. So I'll try the next latest greatest. I'm good. I'll try anything. And some of them have sent me down a really that dark rabbit hole that I've had to pull myself out of, but I don't want to tell our vets, hey, this is good. This works. If, you know, if it hasn't worked for me.
Yeah, because so everybody's body chemistry is different and everyone has different reactions to drugs. Like my husband can't take anything. It like negatively affects him. Everything does.
I get manic from it. I get really manic from antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. The thing that I got hooked on for a while was Vicodin because it's a painkiller and it kills pain in all ways. But then it sent me alcohol, Vicodin, and these are not good. And it made me a raging a-hole. So, I got on them early when I was fighting and we didn't know. It was like the 90s. And like, we play a game of pain. There you go. Thank you. Sounds good. So actually for 10 years, when I would train our fighters and football players, I would take 2 Narcos and 4 espresso shots every morning to train these guys. I felt fantastic.
Wow.
Until I didn't.
Yeah.
Until I didn't later. So you go up here.
Comes up. So the peak is here, but
those valleys are horrifically brutal and nasty, and I'm nasty to other people and I push people away. And it's just not good. So again, it's masking it. I don't want to mask it. I want to heal it.
Yeah. How do you navigate this with your professional situations, right? Mental health has such a stigma. People can't get insurance if they were in a hospital for any mental health. I have a friend that I brought to a hospital. I was afraid he was suicidal. And now we can't get insurance because of it.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a life insurance policy. And he was denied because of one night in a hospital when a friend took him thinking this might be a problem. I was terrified. And so...
You're a good friend, by the way.
Thanks.
That's a hard decision. That's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, not easy.
Because they're gonna, a lot of times they get mad at you. Like,
oh, no, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really brave of you. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Well, I wonder when you work for a massive company like Fox, I would think that I would be afraid to show vulnerability like you are because, you know, maybe they'll think that you can't handle something or whatever. I mean, you guys are all bros, so I think you're like protected because you have your team. But how do you walk that? All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them. I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Τι έχεις? What do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it. Heal Squad, you know the best thing ever? A good night's sleep. I can't believe I didn't know about Sleep Number sooner. It's definitely changed my sleep quality and my life. Quality sleep is more important than ever as we conquer this new year. So if you're like me and you hate mattress shopping, I used to always go home unhappy. Not anymore. Sleep Number makes it so easy. You take a quiz online, then you go into the store and they use a high-tech mattress to discover your pressure points. It's an incredible process, guys. Then they take your sleep number, mine's 25, you lay on one or two beds that the quiz chose for you, and boom, you're done. And their beds are even more high-tech and mind-blowing than I have time to tell you right now, but just wait till you try it. My bed also is temperature balancing and has a foot heater, which is perfect for these cooler months. Trust me, do not go anywhere else ever for a mattress. Discover special offers right now for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/better. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep.
Yeah. Again, having a team is one of the things that helps me the most. It's why I wrote the books, why I opened Unbreakable. So I started a charity. So I have these teams. It's one of the three things that really helps me a lot. They've always kind of been like Glazers crazy. Well, in football and fighting, that's a badge of honor. Mm. What they didn't know is that Glazers is a lot of pain. So now, listen, this whole thing came about. I didn't mean to write a book about this. I wrote something about this because I help all our vets and our ex-players. And I'm so open with them. Somebody asked me about it in an interview one time, and I talked about it, and I wrote about it, about my own struggles with depression, anxiety. I'm just open. Like vulnerability is, I'm good with it. So I wrote about it, and the response was like, oh my God, you too. If he meets Oma, and because I'm a doodly dude, it helps out also.
Yeah, and right? You're very jovial and fun. I never would have ever known.
Yes, but a lot of that is a mask. And a lot of it, laughter, also for me, like the gray hates laughter. So I'm always playing jokes and I'm always trying to laugh because I see the blue. Yeah.
That's how I got through my mom's cancer journey. I'm like, if anybody knew the shit I would say to get a laugh in front of my mom or my dad. Yeah. Yeah.
And so at Fox, when I would have my manic meltdowns, which I would a lot, Howie Long and Kurt Menefee, man, Howie Long would say, because Howie's crazy. He's the biggest, baddest raider of all time. But Howie figured out a way to keep the monster in the box, right? But he understands me. And I've trained Kyle and Chris. So he really understands me. Like, I wrestle with Kyle Long and Chris Long. Like, I'm a moron. And, you know, I'm tiny. These guys are monsters. And Howie's been like, hey, can you train them? So Howie, at times, there's one day in particular, I took an anti-anxiety med. I got prescribed. And, oh, my God, was I off the reservation. And I just was trying it. And I went in that next day, and the sky was falling, and everybody hated me. Everybody's against me. The world's against me. And Howie's like, hey, kind of grabs me. Hey, you're okay. Oh. I'm crying again. This is Howie Long. Wow. You're okay. You're okay. The sky's not falling. We love you. You're okay. Right? Kurt Menefee, when he sees it, we'll go in our dressing room, and he'll sit and just let me vent and talk, and he gets me through it, you know? But then when I started open up about it, I was proud. Fox actually, Fox Sports came this year and they said, hey, we want to have a company-wide thing. Would you speak to the whole company on it? And I opened up. So, yeah, I got their support. What they didn't know is the number of anxiety attacks that I've had on air, which they won't know until they see this or they read the book. I've hid that from them because I didn't want to take down their day. So I have to deal with it. So every single time I've been on TV, and here's the wild part. Like, I'm great in chaos. I suck in calm. I'm great in chaos. And a lot of times I'll cause chaos, but it doesn't need to be caused just because I suck in the calm, and that's not great.
What does great in chaos mean?
That means when I'm in a cage and people are throwing shots at me, I'm great. Chuck Liddell's throwing head kicks at me, I'm fine. 9/11, I ran down to it looking for my friends. I ran to the towers. Like, I'm great in chaos. On TV, it's great. It's that calm that's I have a hard time with. And roommates in my head talk too much. But starting in 2005, it was the craziest thing. I was in an empty Raiders stadium doing a hit for Fox. And I just had my first ever panic anxiety attack. When you have an anxiety attack, you feel like you're about to die. When you feel like you're going to pass out. Your heart starts racing. You start sweating. Your eyes go back and forth. And your head starts sweating.
And you don't know where you are.
You don't know where you are. You start hyperventilating. Mm-hmm. And I have had a result. I've had one every single time I've been on television. Not here or there. Every time. From 2005 until I wrote the book. And I didn't realize it. I had one this year. It was actually this past week when we got off the air. And we were just having a meeting. And And Kurt Menefee saw I opened my sheet. He's like, oh, my God. Like, I was stretched. And when I opened my suit up. And I told him and I told Howie. But every time I've been on the air, including for Ballers, which I can stop down whenever I want because it's scripted. But the first time, every single time, I have an anxiety attack. And I have to wrestle with my abuser, I call it. Like, man, just let me calm down. So if you watch me on TV, I'll try and crack a joke early or smile or laugh about something to try and get through it. But if you see my hand shaking on the air, I'm actually having an anxiety attack.
Wow.
Yep. And it's crazy for me because I love being on there. It's not like I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So I don't know where, but then it became a habit.
Well, and you're not afraid of anything, I don't think. If you're running towards the buildings, you're not afraid to die or you're not afraid of anything. But what I want to know is you said something very interesting. You said, until I wrote the book. So yes. Does that mean that you released it and now somehow you feel better? You had some kind of cathartic experience?
So I didn't realize. So did you see the interview I did with Lane Johnson for the Eagles when he went off the reservation? It's a big football player. Eagles, Pro Bowl right tackle. He left the team and he had a mental breakdown. He left the team for a month. And Lane and I've trained Lane and known him for a long time. Actually stayed in my house for 3 months with my son and I when I trained him. And yet he still hid it from me. And he knew I had it. And yet he hid it from me. Mm. When he came back to the team, we got him right. We did a sit down on Fox where he opened up. And here's the two of us, two those doodly dudes on the planet. Lane is 6'5", 330, right? I've trained him and 1,000 of these guys. And man, I'm a little pit bull. And the two doodliest dudes are sitting there being vulnerable as could be, open up. And I said, what works for you? He said, you know, journaling. For everybody out at home, journaling really helps me. And then right there, I'm like, oh my God, that's what happened. Like I journaled it and it, I don't have it anymore, but I didn't realize it.
That's why we're better together, people.
Right?
That's isn't that why incredible? We're together.
Like, yeah. He's literally saying this to me on the air. And I'm like, I kind of like, I'm trying not to be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But I was like in myself, I'm like, oh my God, that's what happened. Yeah. And I start talking to myself like, that's why it went away. That's why they went away. So journaling has been good, which I didn't realize until he said it. How wild is that, right?
Well, this is why I like, right? You helped him and then he ended up helping you. That's, you know, that's
what
beautiful.
A team does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you said that there are three things that you do. And one of them is you build teams. Talk about the other two.
Teams, being of service. Mm. So even when I was in the book, I really, I write a lot about things, even when I was broke, that I would do to be of service to help beat the gray and see some blue. So even like, I'll give you an example. Like and actually this I do to this day. I go to the 99 cent store and I would buy toothbrush, toothpaste, handy wipes, a pad and pen, socks, things like that, and put them in bags and give them out to the homeless. It's $7, right? I was broke, but I was like, man, I was able to do this. That for me is being of service. There's been a lot of ways I've been. I've always started different charities. I used to go to post offices, get letters to Santa and that these kids are right. And you know, I'm Jewish, so I got nothing to do on Christmas. So I actually go to these kids' homes and
oh my God, what a great idea.
Knock on the door, who is it? And I'm like, is there a such and such? But this is when I was in New York and I was broke and I'd go into the projects with my fight team. And then eventually I took Tiki Barber with me. And we go in there and knock on the door and say, is there a, you know, somebody such and such? And who's this? Did 8-year-old somebody send a letter to Santa? Well, Santa sent us. And we would have Barbie dolls and I would go to these stores and buy clothes. And they would have.
Oh my God, I want to cry.
The saddest things too, like, dear Santa, I wish I could just have a pair of jeans for my brother. So without holes, so no one makes fun of him anymore. Or my mom feel, oh my God, they're all, so oh I started God. Doing this. And then I started telling people, but man, those nights were great for me. And I look on these people's faces and then everybody, I was at CBS at the time, and everybody at CBS was like, can you get some for me? So I'd start getting them and they wouldn't show up in the projects, but they would mail them to them. And we were just, but there's just little things you could do to be of service. So, and being of service too might just be me calling you one day. Hey, I'm just checking up on you. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know, love you and you're loved. How are you today? I'm just checking up on you. Nothing else. I'm just checking up on you. Things like that are being of service.
See, I always advise somebody who's in a funk or not happy, like depressed, dealing with any kind of substance abuse issues, or I say, go volunteer.
Yes. Yes. 1,000,000%.
That always, always works. It always is such a great perspective builder. It fills you up with so much like love and warmth and stuff. So I love that.
And I've been able to, like I said, you don't have to be rich to do this. Right. But I've also, like, I've started a bunch of foundations because my gray is so mean to me. I've had to do such big things to try to offset it. So I've started a foundation. So my foundation MVP was actually, I used to have another foundation called Touchdown Dreams. I'd take like little kids and it was like Make-A-Wish on steroids. And there's a kid named Logan Nebriga. And Logan had leukemia from when he was 3 to 6 at UCLA Children's Hospital. Went in remission at 6, came back 6.5, and then he was in leukemia again from 6.5 to 11. And I took him under my wing, I think, when he was 7. And look, you never, I have a thing there, like, you never know what lies around next Tuesday. And don't try and figure life out. Life will drive you crazy. Well, it was Logan's grandmother, Susie, who worked with all these vets. And it was really their idea. Hey, Jay, you got all these football players who are kind of going off the reservation. And I was learning from them. Let's put them all together. Let's put players and vets together and athletes and vets and give a new team for when the uniform comes up and coach them up. So, and you'll read this in the book. Logan is now cancer-free, but, you know, I took him to a session one night, and I don't want to give away the book, but I said, Logan, I know it sucks that you have leukemia. I know it sucks. Boy, do I get that. But man, if you didn't, we wouldn't be here. Like, MVP wouldn't have been created. And I said, if MVP wasn't here right now, how many people wouldn't be here right now? And there was a room of 90 of us, vets and athletes, and a lot of hands went up. Mm-hmm. And then they just started thanking. They started thanking. Oh, man. He said, Logan, my name is, you know, we have a guy, Denver Morris, who's our first guy we ever hired. We met him, he was homeless. He was a vet. This dude saved so many people. He's pulled, I think, 9 people out of a bridge that was blown up in Iraq and saved all of them. This guy comes back here, and he's homeless, and he had 3 suicide attempts. He's lost 51 of his brothers to suicide. 51 teammates from one battalion, 2-7. And he was the first one. His hand went up. He said, hey, Logan, my name is Denver Morris. Served in Iraq and Afghanistan. I lost X amount here and 52 to suicide. I myself attempted suicide 3 times. And if it wasn't for MVP, I wouldn't be here right now. So, Logan, thank you for saving my life. And then they all started going around. Say it's easy, I'm crying. They all start going around the room. Mm-hmm. And they all start telling Logan. And Logan looks at me and says, oh, my God, I did all this. I said, you did all this because you were unbreakable. You decided that leukemia is not going to beat me, is not going to break me. I'm going to come through that other side of that tunnel. And so Logan has saved a lot of lives. I've just been the messenger, the guy with the biggest mouth in the world.
So the same message applies to you, right? So here you are dealing with such, you know, incredible pain. And what you did is you funneled it and said, I am going to be greater than the pain. I'm going to figure out how to be of service, which is anytime you give, you get, right? Anytime you go volunteer, we always say it's a little selfish because we feel so good, right? So you're getting the glow from all of that.
If I didn't visit Logan in the hospital that day, none of this would happen. Mm-hmm. I just visited him in the hospital. I'm like, yes, and it was for me as much as him, 1,000,000%. And that's okay. That is not selfish.
Yeah, so the message is, if you are going through something, if you can get to an unbreakable place, think mm-hmm. of the good that you can do.
And it's like, you got to make sure you have enough oxygen so you can save the people next to you, right? Mm-hmm. They say that in a play, make sure you're good so you can help them out. Same thing. You got to learn, so whether you think it's selfish or not, you got to learn. You got to get that own self-love so then you can go love other people up too, or help other people in their journey as well.
Mm-hmm. What's the third thing?
Laughter.
My favorite.
So there is a chapter in there. It's the perils of being Jay Glazer's friend. And I'm constantly playing practical jokes on people, constantly. Like, and I'm laughing all the time because the gray hates laughter. And, you know, again, laughter gets me through my anxiety attacks, but you can't see anything but blue when you're laughing. Mm-hmm. Well, I laugh a lot, but I play a lot of jokes. And with people that, you know, the stray hands of the world who've been like that poor bastard, I've gotten him for 30 years now. And he's got me once. He's terrible at it. I crush him. And I taunt him on it because people are like, you're boasting about it. Like, he's going to get you back one day. I'm like, no, you're not going to get me back. He's not smart enough to get me back. I'm good. So I'm like, you can't glaze the glaze. No way. So I always do that. So,
dead.
But I've just abused Mike over the years. I'll take his phone and I'll text.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
People from his phone without him knowing, and then I'll erase the sent text message. So he'll send these, the worst things.
And he has no idea what it was.
And then people come back like, really? Really what? I'm not going to repeat it here because they're really vulgar usually. And
I love it.
Humiliating. The most humiliating things that could ever happen to somebody, I have him admitting to people when it really didn't happen to him. And then I erase the sent text. Howie Long is my muse. I sent a mask text message out to 300 people in the NFL, coaches. I think I sent one to the commissioner. I don't care. My filthy laughter mindset, my locker room knows no limits. I don't care. Like, I'll get anybody. And that's the other thing. Like, I build good communities with a lot of laughter. Even those hard conversations we have in MVP. And in this book, look, it's a great cover, but I'm sure you laughed a lot, right? Like, I have to use laughter so I can tackle the hard stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That allows us to tackle the hard stuff. So it's not all, oh, my God, this is so depressing. No. I could tackle the harder, deeper, darker stuff because I'm going to make you laugh along the way.
Oh, my God. The toilet story with Strahan. I'm like, if he doesn't kill you for putting this in the book, I don't know when he would.
Oh, it's nothing. No, but the one that I love, the one that we were at a place on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And man, this waiter was just being such a jagoff to us. He's just being mean. And he's one of these guys that wasn't a waiter. He was an artist, you know? So he was just being such, and I was just like, dude, this guy must be having the worst day. So I'm gonna mess with him. So Michael's like, what are you gonna do? What are you doing? I got this. So I give the guy my health insurance card when the bill came. And so, you know, some of the insurance card looks like credit cards, right? So I give him my health insurance card. My guy goes, I know I'm wearing all white, but I'm not a doctor. And I just deadpan like this. I don't get it. And he goes, you give me a health insurance card? I go, yeah, I know I'm covered here.
Stop. And, no, you didn't. Oh, my God.
And Michael's like kicking me under the table. And I was like, I'm covered here. He goes, your card. I said, listen, I'm not going through this again. This is one of the restaurants that are in my network. I met my deductible back in February. Go run it again. The guy goes back. And if you say something like that, people just take it like, okay. And he goes back and he starts running it again. Michael's like,
oh my God, no, you watched him run it? No.
Oh, running it. And then he goes to the manager and he's holding it up and you see the manager look at him, look at that, look at him. He's like, it's a freaking health insurance card. And the guy came back and Michael's this time, he's like under the damn table. He just wants to hide. And he goes, I said, no, like, I know exactly what I said, but you were being such an ass to us. I feel you must be having the worst day. Man, you need something to light you. He goes, was I rested? Completely.
It.
He goes, I really was. I was having a horrible day. I said, did this change it for you? He goes, it actually did. I said, well, we all win.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
I'm a demented human being when it comes to jokes. Like, there is nothing.
Oh no, yeah. I think I might be your twin sister because I have been queen prankster my whole life. In fact, Mr. Stray had to deal with me on his first Fox red carpet. We co-hosted together that one.
We did that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were working out.
Were we in Dallas for that?
I think so. Yeah.
Dallas Super Bowl, right? Yeah.
And I was working out of the gym with him. I was like, oh, and I totally messed him up. I'm like, can I just try your Super Bowl ring on? And he goes, yeah. And then I grabbed it and I start running. I'm like, I'm throwing it in the trash. And he's chasing after me and I have it right over the barrel. And he's like, oh my God, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm like, you guys ruined my football life. And so I was like so upset. But he's a good sport.
Yeah, laughter for me is
everything.
If you could bottle up two things, if you could bottle up laughter and give it as a pill, be an incredible antidepressant. And you could bottle up working out, give it as a pill, that would be a great antidepressant. Incredible.
Well, so then if you think about it, if you didn't do those two things, I can only imagine how dark the gray would be.
And I make myself do it. And that's the thing. I just did an appearance recently. It was pretty cool. I did a speaking engagement with a mortgage lending company. And I was talking about my whole journey. And this guy raised his hand. He said, if you say your anxiety and depression are so bad, it's hard for you to get out of bed, how are you then so relentless in your life? Because also, like, the way I go about fighting or business or anything, I'm just relentless, mm-hmm. relentless.
But that's a habit now.
You got to do it. I will relentless. And again, fighting wise, I'm just always coming in. And anything I go after, I'm knocking me down a billion times. I'm Rocky times a billion, right? And I just keep going until somebody goes, oh my God, get them off me. Or fine, give them the job or whatever. Man, we're tapping out. Is this, we're negotiating? Fine, right? I am just relentless. So I said, he goes, well, how do you live life relentlessly? If, you know, you have this. I said, it is hard for me to get out of bed in the morning. I wake up in the morning, I don't know which version of me I'm going to get. And I could be getting the version that the sky is falling. Could be getting the version that, like, I'm single. And a lot of times I'm like, of course you're single because you're not worthy of it. No one's ever going to love you. And I may be getting that version. Maybe getting, I just don't know what version it is. Once I make that decision to get out of bed in the morning, I'm going to live life relentlessly. I'm going to go for it. I got out of bed. That's the only way I'm going to do it now. And I told him this. And then I said to him, because he said, I've suffered from anxiety too, and it's hard for me to get out of bed. Hard for me today. And I said, sir, have you ever told anybody this? And he said, no. He takes his glasses off. He starts calling this. And he's in his 70s. He said, no. And I said, well, think about what a gangster you are. Because you just said this in front of all your people here. Think how courageous that is. And the whole place got up and gave him a standing ovation. Mm. It was amazing. Wow. That's what happens when you're willing to be vulnerable, right? Yeah. When you're willing to open up. And by the way, then everybody else in the room started going, I got anxiety. I got depression. It was like, hey, you get the gray.
It always takes somebody to be brave to kind of, you know, create the domino effect.
And I said to him, have you ever told any of your teammates this? He said, never. It's my first time. But all of a sudden he had people come over and putting their arms around him. That's pretty damn cool. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping to do with this book. And we can all put our arms around each other.
Oh yeah, you definitely are. Jay, talk to me about the worst moments.
what week? Like it's, yeah, there was one.
Like, do you have a worst moment you want to share?
No, it's literally like I have probably one or two a week where it's like that. The worst anxiety attack was the biggest moment of my life, which is we did the Super Bowl in Miami a couple years ago. And that panic attack lasted over an hour. I don't remember the first hour of our show. And I just wrestled with my abuser the whole time. And it wasn't until we got in the car for our second, we had three sets. This was the Miami Super Bowl. It was the centennial, the NFL, right? 100th anniversary. Biggest show we did my entire life. And started 20 minutes before the show. No idea why. And it lasted throughout the entire first hour. So it went on for an hour and 20 minutes. And it wasn't until we got a car to drive to the stadium for the second set. The first set was on South Beach. We got in the car, and me and Jimmy Johnson and Kurt Menefee started busting jokes and cracking each other that it opened up. The darkness opened up, and I was able to breathe. But it went on for over an hour. And it was like, when it happens too, like, you're in a cloud. You don't even know what's going on. You have no idea what's going on. So I don't remember any of it. That first hour of the biggest day of my career. That sucked. But like last week, I was in one. Last week, and man, it usually doesn't wake me up at night. But last week it did. And again, my gray is what allows me to do these great things. So I would trade it for a different version of the gray, I think. But my messed upness is what makes me go take three steps up into a cage with these guys. Wrestle Andrew Whitworth and Lane Johnson and Adrian Peterson and whoever, through hand fighting with Miles Garrett. Like, I'm good. Like, can I curse on this thing or no?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fucked up, but I'm good with my fucked upness. Right. I'm proud. I'm good. But what I hate is the times that, man, that dark, it just wakes you up out of nowhere. And the cool thing, as I've started to talk about this, a lot of these football players have started to talk to me about this also. I'm like, of course, what do you think? Like, you can't be crazy and not be great. Like, you know, if you're great, the only way to be great is to be crazy. And for you guys to put a football helmet on and just bam, 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 a million times, the amount of work you put in, yeah, your darkness is leading you there. So honor that. You're good with that, okay? Don't feel shame in that dark. That's the other thing. I'm trying to take away the shame. And so, man, 2 weeks ago, it was the rare time that I couldn't get out of bed till almost 4. I tried, but I was so achy. It beat me up so much. Luckily, it was a day I didn't. Now, if I had to go do stuff, I would have, right? But it was a day. It was a Monday or Tuesday. Those are my weekends during football season. But I needed help. So I reached out to one of my teammates, who's a guy named Mark Kerr, who was the first ever UFC heavyweight champ of the world. I reached out and told him, hey, man, I need some help today. And he said, the HBO did a documentary on him, which actually got me into fighting, called The Smashing Machine, back in 2000. Now, The Rock, who wrote the foreword of my book, actually bought his life rights for a movie because he was like the first. He was the original. And he's now part of my charity and our foundation, our MVP foundation. But I did what I was supposed to. I reached out to my teammate. I said, bro, I'm struggling today. I need some help. He's like, what do you need? I said, I need you to come over. I need a spar. He's like, you need me to punch you in the face? I'm like, yep, I need more CTE. Yes. So he came over. He literally pulled me off the couch, got me going, and I worked. We sparred, and I felt phenomenal. Right? I did what I had to do. I'm never going to do this because I'm not going to put that pain on anybody else. I'm never going to take my own life. I will not do that to anybody else. And, like, there's one thing that I could do, just, like, no matter how bad my pain is, I don't want to put that kind of grief and pain on anybody else. And I know a lot of people think, well, nobody loves me and no one's going to care. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And the only way you would know is if you actually took your own life. And then you, man, afterwards, and you're sitting in whatever afterlife you believe in, you see the grief you left behind, guarantee you wouldn't be celebrating that. You would go, oh my God, what did I do? No, I wish I could take it back. Well, by hearing this, hopefully this is your chance to have a take back. Mm-hmm. Right, for those who have attempted suicide or thinking about it. So I'll do what I need to make sure I beat the gray every day. And that day was, I called him and sparred. And after that, then I was able to last. So I called my teammate, you know. And like I said, you call your teammate, call somebody. And, you know, you and I talk about Stray a lot. So here's the wildest thing about this thing. He's been my best friend since 1993, okay?
Drove you to the stadium every day when you didn't have money to get there on your own.
Yeah, that's because he had no other friends. So, you know, he has bad teeth, a speech impediment. Who wants to hang out with that guy?
So
I, 2 months ago, I was staying at our hotel. It was a Friday before a show, and Stray and I were supposed to do dinner. And man, the gray woke me up in the middle of the night and just kicked my ass. Like, man, the sky was falling. It was just hard. And again, it beats me up so badly physically. I said, hey, bro, I can't go to dinner tonight. So why? I said, man, the beast just kind of got me today. And it got out of the box and beat me. So I'm going to sit tonight out. And he said, you want me to come over? I said, no. He said, you want to talk about it? And I said, no, this part that's going to blow your mind. Because this isn't a book, because it happened after. And he said, we've been brothers for 30 years. Why have you never told me? This is the first time. First time I ever told him. I said, I don't make up the rules of this thing. Like, for whatever reason, I felt ashamed with you. He said, but I'm your best friend. I'm like, no. He goes, you could talk to all these other people about it. I said, I know. I don't make up the rules. I said, the reason why I get emotional, because of his reaction back. If I felt comfortable enough and took that shame away, I would have somebody for 30 years that could have helped me. 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I could have leaned on him to come over, talk about it. I wouldn't have to fake it when I went out. A lot of times I go out and be overly big. I'd try and hide the pain and I would get in trouble and I'd do bad, stupid shit. I'd start fights with him. I could have talked to him for 30 years about it and I was just too ashamed. Mm. So, no more shame for me. No more. We're done. We're done with that. So that's why I do this, because now I'm telling everybody. So I'm not hiding from anybody because, man, there's a lot of people that can help you out there. You just don't know until you open up. That was a bad gray day. That was 2 months ago.
Wow. What a great lesson. Ask for help.
Damn right. Call your teammate. Ask for help. Let them know.
You know, you said earlier that you moved to Scottsdale to try to get some calm and some peace. But they always say that you can't change the external and think it's going to change the internal. I'm curious, has that change actually helped?
When I get messages from people that say, I was going to kill myself until I saw your post and now I don't feel alone, that lifts me up. When I get messages from people that say, I got one from a grandmother who's grandmother, she said, I've never known how to describe this to anybody. Thank you. I could finally tell my family. To grandmother. When I have these people reach out, and this happens a lot now, Jay, thank you for helping me understand my 10-year-old daughter now. Now I can talk to her about this. And now I'm sure, like, this is, so what I'm hoping to do by this is I'm hoping to piece together enough streaks of blue where it's just not always gray. It's day by day. But if I can piece together enough streaks of blue, like I think my life could start now.
But do you feel like moving to Scottsdale is what led you to have the quiet to write this and to do
No. I did it. I moved to Scottsdale because I want to learn how to exhale. I don't want to keep being on that hamster wheel. I don't want to be that guy who's 80 years old and dies when he's just work.
Has it worked?
I'm trying to learn.
How long have you been there?
Only since September.
Okay. So it's still an experiment.
It's no experiment. But like LA for me too, like, man, I'm always more and more business, more and more. But I'm like, hey, like, when's it enough? Like, I got to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And I love Scottsdale. I love it. I love the energy of my house. And so, you know, I'm looking to try and lay roots here and enjoy it. And so I bought a beautiful home that I still am like, oh, thank you, my best friend, God Almighty in heaven. Like, how do I have this? But it's crazy. Those things, I look at this and I'm just, same thing. You're like, I'll probably lose this in 5 years or I'll probably lose this in 2 years. So I've got to learn how to, like, this is real. Like, I got this because I earned it by outworking the world.
Have you tried meditation? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I do it every morning.
Okay. Has that helped?
Three songs. Yeah. Yeah. I'll do one song where I'll do things that I'm grateful for, whether I want to do it or not. Do one song, things that I'm grateful for. One song, I'll do things that I'm proud of. And that's really hard. So I force myself to do it. And the last one is positive affirmations, things I'm going to do. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to help people do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give myself a break between one and two today.
What's a song?
No, just a song that I like. Like, I'll just listen to it.
Oh, and you just kind of sit with it?
Yeah, I'll just take a song that I happen to like. I'll play it. So however long that song will go, that'll be that. Yeah, meditation will be what I'm proud of or what I'm grateful for.
Okay.
And it's like, God, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for my dog. I'm grateful for this. And it could be a something that's, it doesn't have to always be like a spiritual thing. It could be something that's shallow. Hey, I'm grateful for my car. I'm grateful for my whatever. I'm grateful for the sky. I'm grateful for this. It could be anything. I'm grateful for this person I met the other day. Just gratitude. It allows me to start the day with gratitude.
I like that. I actually coincidentally posted how I start my day this morning on my Instagram. So it's kind of funny. You can.
What was it?
Well, you know, people always say you have to have your morning ritual and then your evening ritual and all of that. And I was, you know, a little bit ashamed that I couldn't keep up with a morning ritual. Like, it always changed. And I was like, oh, I'm not doing it right or whatever. And then I realized I have a new ritual that I've been doing every day that I really love. And it sets me up for the day, but it's my kind of ritual. So When I wake up in the morning, I get ready, I get showered and ready, and then I return to the bed where my little miniature poodle is on the top of the bed and my big 130-pound German Shepherd is on the floor. And so I go over to her and she starts kind of like, you know, being funny, and she'll start swatting me, and then I'll pull her legs and pull her ears and I'll tell her, you know, how grateful are we for another day, Winnie? Let's ask God, you know, what amazing things are we going to get to do today? And how can we be of service today? And then Max will jump in and then he'll start biting her, and then she'll give him like the teeth back, hissing at him. And then I'm like, guys, no fighting. We're grateful. God gave us love and we have each other and we're so lucky.
That's a cool thing you got right there, right?
It's the best. It makes me so happy every morning. So you can watch it on Instagram. It's hilarious.
I love that. All right. And they're your team. So that's a good way to start. And then I'll immediately after I'm done meditating, I'll work out like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately, no matter what. Because when I get stuck in the gray a lot of times, I'm too sluggish and I won't want to, and I'll feel it. So I make myself right from meditation, right to work, right to work out.
It's a great strategy. Jay, the book is incredible. It's called Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and How You Can Too. Thank you so much. And this is a gift for everybody. So you continue to keep on giving.
Wait, too. Again, Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression, Anxiety into Motivation, and You Can Too. And when I say you can too, this is really my way of trying to become teammates with all of you out there. Like, no matter what level it is, I'm hoping there's something in this book that can help everybody out there. And we just came through the worst time, the hardest time, coming through a pandemic. And we were isolated, right? Which is something we try and get you not to do. So we all got some sort of grace. So I think by buying this book, it's going to help you understand somebody else who's living through it. And I promise you, you will laugh your asses off along the way.
This is very, very true. I can second that. We'll put a link to the book in the summary. And also Jay's Instagram. And of course, we can watch you every Sunday. We got one or two more. What do we get? Two more.
We got one. We're not doing. We got.
Oh, you guys aren't doing Super Bowl.
We're doing NFC Championship again this week.
All right. Well, good luck. Thank you so much. And we'll see you soon.
I appreciate you.
Bye, Jay. All right, everybody. What are we thinking?
So great.
Is Kev still with us?
Kev.
Is Queen Kev still with
us? He's in. He's muted, but he's here. I thought that was great, though, Maria. I'm like, I almost started crying over that. Well, I kind of was. The Logan, the little boy. Oh, my God. And I loved the stories, too, about the volunteering and the Santa and writing the letters and bringing them. Oh, he's amazing. And I think it's so important, especially now, to talk about stuff like this. And he, like, I know he talks about it in the book, but he's like, it's cool that now mental health is a topic of conversation, but we still don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he really is. And I think that it's so amazing that he is.
Yeah.
So,
and there's so many things that can trigger these kinds of moments too, right? It could be a death of a loved one. It could be a diagnosis of an illness. It can be so many different things that put you in these kind of places, as I know. So, I think very, very helpful information.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's kind of twofold. It's, it's great to see what it takes to make it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the book is way more about how to kind of, I think you're going to spot some things that you didn't maybe spot before hearing those stories about 76-year-old people who are just understanding it. Right.
Yeah.
Is crazy. So,
how about him having panic attacks every single time,
every game,
like, holy cow.
Yeah.
But you know what I love is he still continues to do it. Like, he doesn't give up. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not like, oh, that's going to, you know, it wins. Here I go.
Yeah.
Every single game. I thought that was insane.
I think that's the best part of the book is that hopefully it'll teach people how to play through.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of people feel the same way, but then they don't have that resolve to keep going. And then they don't have the fulfillment.
Yeah, it's like Kevin used to always say, he's like, oh, I'm just, if he'd go to bed sad and he'd go, oh, I'm just going to wake up and kid myself again.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, a whole new day to kid myself. But I think that, you know, he meets a lot of it with work. And like he said, he's the one that could, run into a burning building with no problem. But then when he's calm, it all bubbles up. So I think that for a lot of people, we stay so busy because of that. But I think the key is, how do you figure out the calm? And he has some nice techniques to figure that out as well.
Yep. All right. Well, Heal Squad, I hope you enjoyed that. I hope it was helpful. In the meantime, if you haven't hit subscribe here on YouTube, please do. Never miss a great episode. We're loving the reviews. Oh my God, so many amazing reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much. It's really helpful for people to see that this is a good show, but then also for our self-esteem and our self-worth. Every day, we really love reading them. So thank you. Queen, will you put a link to anyone who wants to add a review? Sometimes I feel like everybody has a hard time finding where to do it.
It can be hard, but so, if you have a question or you're confused, you can also DM us on Better Together with Maria and we will help you.
But we'll put a link to that as well as the book in the summary. In the meantime, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.